Hi, gang. Bob Boving here for the Mystery Project. This week, we're at Episode 7 of Paul Ledoux's series, In the Blood. Marty Carlin, ex-police detective, and his family have returned to Halifax after years away in Toronto. Now an insurance investigator, Carlin finds that his old-time connections can lead him into major trouble. Labor dispute becomes labor destruction in Alternate Catches, starring Barry Dunn as Marty Carlin.
Not bad. 240 yards, easy. Right, John?
Yep. Too bad about the hook, eh, Bruce?
Yeah. Too bad about the lake, too.
You guys leave me alone. Golf is still a new brand of punishment.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I told him not to...
No, it's mine. Oh. Burgess?
Yeah?
Just a sec. Sorry, my fish processing plant in Cap St. Luke. Yeah, go ahead.
Geez, I knew his construction business was booming, but a fish processing plant?
Fish processing plants. Ray's been a buyer for years.
What? How bad? Okay, yeah.
So, another fishy business, eh, Ray? You okay?
There's been an explosion. The man was hurt.
How bad?
Critical condition. It was a bomb. Like the view, Marty?
Kind of hard to hear yourself think.
Yeah, but we'll be in St. Luke in 45 minutes instead of 3 hours.
Yeah, if we don't crash. What's the trouble at the plant all about, anyway?
It's complicated. The Cap St. Luke plant has been shaky since the collapse of the ground fishery. So I cut a deal with the province. I bought in, and they financed me to retool for alternative catches. We're processing crab, scallops, and shrimp. I was turning things around until the feds decided to reduce local quotas. I'm losing money, big time.
So what's the bottom line?
I've got no choice. I'm closing down and moving the capital assets to my Sheet Harbor plant. The locals hate the idea.
They think a picket line will stop you?
It might. The local MLA has been raising hell in the legislature. I promised to keep Cap St. Luke going, and the province invested heavily in the new equipment. If the Fishermen's Union can keep the heat on, I won't be able to get my gear out.
That's nuts. You own it.
Maybe. But we're talking politics, not property law. These guys still resent the English from Halifax telling them what to do, eh? Think they'd be used to it after 250 years.
The English had tried hard to run the Acadians out of Nova Scotia, but it didn't quite take. Cap St. Luke was a fishing community near Yarmouth with one of those huge Catholic churches that proved the point. Ray landed in the harbor and ran his seaplane up to the government wharf. Gerard Blinn, the plant manager, was waiting for us. I watched Blinn as I untangled my stomach. Classic chiseled Acadian features, tall, jet-black hair, a beard that was too carefully trimmed. He was nervous from the moment he caught the mooring rope. Ray grabbed the front seat in Lynn's car and hit the cell phone while we drove to the plant.
Yeah, Burgess.
I don't know if we can get past the pickets. Last week they flipped the pickup, and when they see Mr. Burgess...
This is kind of scary.
These are all good people, but Jack LeBlanc got them so worked up, even this explosion hasn't stopped them. I still can't believe it.
Who is Jack LeBlanc?
He's a fisheries union organizer. Local boy makes good. You know the type. Comes home after 20 years away and first thing, start telling everybody what to do.
Okay. Thanks, Hank. Call you back. Jim Jodry is dead.
He's dead?
The guy in the bombing?
That's right. One of those fishermen is now a killer.
The fishermen were still milling around outside the fish plant as we rolled through. Dead silence. They looked terrified. Chief Thompson was a small town cop in a community that should have been served by the RCMP. I wasn't impressed.
So, what do you got?
Mr. Blinn got a package this morning. The Mounties think it was a letter bomb.
I put it on top of the computer. meant to open it, but there was a ruckus at the gate and...
I'm doing my best, but they're getting worse every day. We should have a forensic profile on the explosion by tonight.
Yeah, right. What about Jodry? He management?
No. He was from unemployment insurance.
Just down for the morning. A routine inspection of our records. And those SOBs out there killed him.
You sure it was one of them?
Has to be. It's been building up for weeks.
2 days ago, they threw a bottle full of burning gas at the front of my house. And now an innocent man is dead.
Perfect. Mr. LeBlanc, I expect Chief Thompson wants to talk to you.
Yeah. Look, I sent the guys home. I just figured... What exactly happened in here, anyway?
You tell us. Was it some idiot you whipped into a lather? Or did you mail the bomb yourself?
Look, Burgess, you think you can get away with making unsubstantiated accusations like that? Then you've got another...
We just need to ask you some questions.
Ask some questions. Sure thing. Anything you can pin on labor, staple it down, right? Okay. We can talk. Someplace that doesn't stink of fish.
Thompson and LeBlanc went down to the cop shop. I interviewed the few people still working the plant. It was routine, no results. 5 o'clock, Ray said, let's knock off. He wanted me to stay with him and Bruce out at his beach house. I told him I had to be in town. There was no chance of solving the case driving around with the boss. Ray said fine and loaned me the company Intrepid. I checked into a motel and went to the tavern for a steak. In a town like Cap St. Luke, if you have questions you need answered, a tavern is the place to start. Joe's Tavern was a functional place, in a low brick building, big parking lot, no class. I walked in through the heavy wooden doors and...
Carla, it's about time you showed up.
Maggie? What in hell are you doing here?
I came to visit my brother. I'm from here, remember?
Marguerite LeBlanc was an old girlfriend, and an even older friend. She'd suddenly become part of my life again. Maggie always reminded me of who I was, and who I used to be.
Get over here and give me some. So I heard you were in town and told my brother you'd show up here eventually. Come on, you two gotta talk.
Every eye in the place was on me as I followed Maggie across the tavern to a long table in the back, where Jack LeBlanc sat, nursing a beer.
So, you two have already met, right?
After a fashion. Pull up a chair, Marty. I would have introduced myself at the plant, but not the time or the place, right?
Right. Thanks. So, small world.
Damn straight. Be back. Hey, Clarence, a tray of draft.
So... I wasn't around when you and Maggie were an item, but she says you're a stand-up guy, and...
And you want to talk to someone you can trust.
Wouldn't mind. I think somebody is setting me up.
For the bombing? Why? Are you vulnerable?
Spent 8 years as a hard rock miner out in B.C. Controlled blasts a specialty. Once they find out, they'll be all over me.
Maybe, but they'll still have to prove you did it.
They don't have to prove it to discredit me. Everything we've tried to do here will go down the tubes. I'm hoping Thompson's so lame I can track down the real bomber before he finds out about B.C. Maggie says he'll help.
Maybe. One of your guys sent the package?
I don't know. I keep saying this is Nova Scotia, not Oklahoma, but... Who else had motive to go after Gerard?
I don't know. Then, I don't know Gerard.
Gerard. He was never close to anybody. He was one of those kids could never get anybody to go over to his place unless he bought the pop. Started ordering suits from Boston when he was 16.
The beer be here.
Gerard was a company man even before he knew what a company man was.
Come on, Jack. If Gerard hadn't been running the plant the last 5 years, a lot of guys would have suffered, and you know it.
Okay. He used to take some chances and did some good. But he also sold us out to Burgess.
What kind of chances does Gerard take?
It wouldn't mean anything to you. Cheers.
The steak was third rate and the conversation second hand. Fishermen kept glaring in my direction. All Jack would tell me was that he had no idea who the bomber could be or where to start looking for him. By last call, the whole exercise had degenerated into political diatribe.
I mean, everybody's got motive, right? How long are we going to let the Burgesses of the world, the 5% who own everything, including our politicians, screw us?
Jack, Marty doesn't need a lefty lecture. He used to be pretty good at them himself.
See, the problem is, I've got to trust you before I can give you anything concrete.
Jack, I said you didn't trust him.
Yeah, and way back when you trusted him, he dumped you, didn't he?
I never blamed him. And you don't know anything about it.
You're right. Sorry. I'd better get out of here before I start breaking things, okay? See ya.
Sorry, Marty.
That's okay. Can't blame him. He's inside a pressure cooker. I better get going, too.
Yeah, come on. I'll walk you out.
That's me there, the Intrepid. Oh, beautiful.
What's the matter?
Four slash tires, that's the matter.
People around here have strange ways of making friends, Carolyn. Come on, I'll give you a lift.
We drove back to the motel in silence, listening to Maggie's impossible old 8-track. I should have felt uncomfortable. I didn't. Maggie always had the gift of easy silence, and I fell into it and into the music. We pulled into a parking lot full of 4x4s festooned with TV news logos. All the major food groups were in attendance. CBC, CTV, CJNS.
My, my. The vultures are circling. CJNS, too.
Yeah, the family business. Bet Sharon's team got here first. You mean what you said back in the bar? About not blaming me for taking off?
That was 20 years ago, Marty.
I've been carrying it that long, too.
Your best friend was dead. You blamed yourself and ran away. Like I said, I couldn't blame you. Hell, bud, we were children at the time. It would have never lasted anyway. Get out of here.
The motel lot was dead quiet. The flicker of a TV screen in the occasional window. Nothing else. Then, lights in every room in the motel snap on, and the doors smash open. A dozen people run out, among them my wife. Behind me, I hear Maggie getting out of the car. And realize how it looks.
Marty, there's been another...
Hey, guys, what in hell is going on?
Marty, what in the hell is she doing here?
I was at the tavern...
No, I know you'll have a top-of-the-line story, and I want to believe it, but it's got to wait. There's been another explosion.
At the plant?
No, one of the union guys. 125 Old Shore Road.
That's my brother's place. What happened?
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Tell her, Marty, I gotta go.
All we know for sure is that there was an explosion in the boathouse, and Jack LeBlanc was down there.
Building another bomb?
We'll know more tomorrow.
This is Sharon Carlin, CJNS News, in Cap St. Luke.
Sharon?
I'm busy. Barry,
look, I know how it must
get
have
out
seemed.
Of my face, Marty, and let me do my job.
Marty?
Yeah. You okay?
No. They say Jack was making a bomb. Crap.
You sure, Maggie?
Try this on instead. Gerard was banking stamps.
Banking stamps?
It's a pogey scam. When you run a fish plant, you can juggle the records so the fishermen you're buying from all get enough stamps to qualify for unemployment insurance.
Gerard cooked his catch records to up the guy's UI?
Yeah, but somebody must have ratted him out. The UI investigator would have caught him and everybody else. So who would have tipped UI?
Ray.
Turn in his own plant? Why?
Once it got out, the poor fishermen who were getting all the sympathy in the legislature would be welfare bums, and Gerard would take the heat.
Fine, but it doesn't matter, right? What's important is that every fisherman in town had reason to want Jodry out of the way. Except Jack. He's never gone pogey in his life.
So, whoever killed Jodry planted the second bomb to incriminate Jack?
You think my brother would accidentally set off a charge? I don't.
We'll know more.
So you get your story?
Yeah, I got my story. What's yours?
Somebody slashed my tires at the tavern. She drove me home. That's all.
I want to believe you, Marty, but...
I can show you the car, Sharon. But either you believe me or you don't.
If I didn't believe you, I wouldn't be here, right?
Right.
Okay. So, I found out Jack was an explosives expert.
True. He told me that this afternoon.
Oh, great. And what else do you know that I don't?
There's a different angle. Gerard was making new eye stamps for the whole fleet.
So? That's traditional. Every fish buyer's sideline.
Somebody turned him in. UI was investigating. Now, the records are gone, and so is the investigator.
But the bomb was sent to Gerard.
Right. By any one of 100 fishermen with real motivation for destroying the catch records. Or Gerard nailed a bomb to himself to cover up.
He knows when it's set to go off, makes sure he's outside, kaboom. No investigator, no evidence?
And no suspicion. If he can frame Jack and make sure he's not around to deny it.
You buy it?
The whole premise is far-fetched, but...
But until you find out about the first bomb, you won't know one way or the other.
So?
So we phone Bruce and get the RCMP bomb report from Halifax. Now. Here.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce. You awake?
Marty? Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Look, I'm sorry, but I need the lab report on the bomb at the plant now. And you'll have to pull official strings to get it.
We heard from Thompson. LeBlanc was the bad guy, right?
If the first bomb was built by a pro. If not, then we've got a crazy out there. I don't want a third explosion, Bruce. Trust me on this.
Sure, sure, yeah. Get back to you as soon as I can. At the motel?
Right. Thanks, Bruce. Man, I'm beat.
Yeah, me too. We should get some sleep.
Yeah. On the other hand... Here we are at a strange motel a million miles from home.
Mm. Mm. Perfect. I'll get it. Yeah, what's... I don't believe it.
I need Marty.
Right. I'm Sharon, his wife. What's going on?
Hey, no offense, but you're a journalist. No comment. Marty, we've got trouble. I'll be in my car.
Sharon, I've got a case, and she's part of it.
Go on. We both have jobs to do.
I couldn't sleep. Ended up out at the Fast and Tasty. Some of the fishermen were there, pretty drunk. Bad-mouthing Jack. I couldn't take it. Told them about the Pogey investigation and blamed Ray.
And they're going to talk to him. You call Thompson?
I got an answering machine. Says he checks in every hour.
Well, I was just talking to Bruce, and they haven't got to Ray's place yet.
Probably stopped at the bootleggers on the way. It was that kind of party. Listen, I'm sorry about snapping at your wife.
Oh, forget it. You're under a lot of stress.
Yeah. And jealous. She's got it all. Me. Yeah, disaster's been on my tail my whole life.
You always gave more than you got, Maggie. You deserve better.
Damn right I do. But life ain't fair, you know? Hey, slow down. Guys like Ray never get lynched. No matter how much they deserve it.
Cocktails, anyone?
Not for me, thanks. We expected you'd have guests.
The mini-mom? Come and gone.
I don't think they expected to see Ray with a shotgun. I'm going to have another. Are you sure?
We're fine. Great.
So, the boys were rather angry. Maggie, I understand you identified me as the UI rat who wanted to do in the whole community. And Marty, you put her up to it? I thought we were friends.
I told Maggie my theory, but it wasn't for public consumption.
It doesn't matter. You were right. I did phone UI. The fishermen are frauds. The management of the plant is corrupt. Once it's out in the open, I can close the whole mess, and who can blame me?
Is that what you said to the guys?
No. I denied any involvement. But you'll be happy to know I cleared your brother. I told him that the bomb at the plant was the work of an amateur.
So you heard from the RCMP?
Yeah, the RCMP lab analyzed fragments. Melted bits of an old alarm clock, sticks of dynamite, real bush league. I phoned the motel and told Sharon.
And I told the fisherman. Unfortunately, Gerard immediately fell under suspicion.
You should have seen those guys pull out of here. Were they ever steamed?
The crowd outside Gerard's was big and ugly and out of control. Thompson had turned out his entire force. Three nervous guys in second-hand riot gear, all praying for reinforcements. Thompson, what the hell is...
He's got a hostage. One of those Halifax TV types. She was in there doing an interview or something.
Oh my God, Martin. Sharon?
Put your rifles in the trunks of your cars and go home, okay? Go home and let the police take care of this.
I told Maggie to get the bullhorn from Thompson and try to calm down her friend. Then I worked my way to a blind spot on the side of the house. I'm no kidding. Found an open basement window.
You're an intelligent man, Gerard. You know you'll have to surrender eventually.
All I ever wanted to do was to take care of this community. I wanted them to love me. And they did for a while. But things changed. I couldn't help anymore. And then Jack came home, and they turned on me.
He was sitting in the living room, a gun propped up beside him as he absently put the final touches on a brand new bomb. A long, slow moment, and then...
Hey, Gerard, it's me. The cops say we can talk.
You stay away from me, Maggie.
Come on. You aren't going to shoot me, Gerard.
What makes you so sure?
Gerard sagged against the wall, sobbed, and slid to the floor.
Oh, God, Jack. I'm sorry, Jack.
Suddenly, nothing made sense anymore, but there was no time to think. As he cried, Gerard softly laid his rifle down beside him. I slipped into the room. His head was buried in his hand as if he wasn't there at all. He was going for the gun when...
Gerard, I want it raised.
His eyes snapped open. He snatched the gun, and suddenly, I was standing there with a rifle pointed at my chest.
Get back! Back!
Okay. Okay. Easy.
Gerard, that woman you got in there has nothing to do with it. Me for her, eh?
Watch it. Watch.
Damn it, Gerard. The door wasn't even locked. Those guys out there mean business. And... Garland?
Just take it slow, Maggie.
I didn't mean it. You've got to understand.
It's okay. We understand. The bomb was Jack's idea, right?
No, that's not what happened.
It has to be, Maggie. Jack told me he and Gerard hardly knew each other. You just said they were best friends. There's only one reason for Jack to lie. He built the first bomb. Right, Gerard?
He made it as cheap and stupid as he could. He said... They'll find out I'm a demolitions expert, so the bum has to look amateur. He didn't want to hurt anybody, Maggie. It's just all went wrong.
No, I don't believe it. I won't.
I told Jack. UI knows I've been banking. They're sending someone. All Jack cared about was protecting the guys. He said, let him come. Won't matter. The records will be destroyed by the bomb. Childry showed up a day early and started to download the files. I panicked. Opened the parcel, reset the timer, then he should have been at lunch. The bomb should have gone off at 12:15. It was an accident.
And the second bomb? The one that killed my brother? Was that an accident, too?
It was murder. And I knew eventually it'd go to the police, so I watched him build the first bomb, just like this one. It's easy once you know how. Oh, God, I was so afraid, Maggie. It wasn't my fault. So, it's better...
Kill yourself, and no one will ever know the truth about Jack. And you end up just a grubby little murderer.
But he's your brother. Why would you want him to take the blame?
I don't want him to take the blame. I want everybody to know the truth.
And I'll make sure they hear it, Gerard.
Okay. Gerard gave me his gun. Maggie started to cry, and it was Sharon who comforted her. Funny how things turn out, eh? The next morning, Ray called a press conference. The fact that Jodry and Jack were dead didn't seem to bother him much. After all, he'd won. Guess he couldn't afford to care.
The shocking revelations concerning the long-term fraud at my plant and the tragic deaths that followed have reinforced my decision to close down operations here in Cap St. Luke. The Premier is in accord with my decision.
Burgess just killed this community without even a blink. He's scum. I'm out of here. See ya.
She's right. He is scum.
Hey, Sharon, you're talking about a golfing buddy.
Not anymore. You scared the hell out of me back at Gerard's. When he turned that gun on you?
Hey, how do you think I felt when I found out you were in there?
Like the Lone Ranger.
We make a hell of a team, don't we?
A hell of a team.
You've been listening to Alternate Catches, the latest installment in Paul Ledoux's series, In the Blood, the newest original offering on the Mystery Project. Featured in today's cast were Barry Dunn as Marty Carlin, Jennifer Overton as his wife Sharon, Jamie Bradley as Bruce McKenzie, Joseph Rutten as Ray Burgess, Luke Bouille as Gerard, Caitlin Calhoun as Maggie, Ken Shipley as Jacques LeBlanc, and Andrew Kilty as Chief Thompson. Music was provided by Dave Burton. The recording engineers were Pat Martin and John McCarthy. Sound effects were by Dermot Kenny and Anton Zabo. Casting was by John Dunsworth of Filmworks and Alex Duncan. The associate producer of In the Blood is Peggy Hemsworth. The play was produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening.